Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, all you wonderful, wonderful F1 fans, not just in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, but around the world. If you're hearing my voice, that can only mean two things. One, that my name is Kelsey, and two, you are listening to the newest edition of F101. And as always, we're going to start off this hot episode with the hot topics. This is everything you need to know in the world of F1. We have another car signing, actually two technically. One was leaked a couple days ago. The rumors were true during the offseason, the silly season. Kimi Antonelli, he will be the second driver in the Mercedes seat for the 2025 season and beyond. There was massive speculation before the midseason break, like literally a couple of weeks before. During the midseason break, Toto Wolff kind of let it slip during an interview asking, you know, how's the lineup looking for 2025? How confident are you in the drivers? And Toto Wolff just kind of kicked right in and said, we're super, super confident about both our drivers. Both Russell or both George and Kimi will definitely bring something to the 2025 season, essentially verifying that Kimi Antonelli will be in the 2025 seat. It's supposed to be a multi-year deal, so I'm thinking probably two plus one year, so two actual years plus a one-year optional extension. Congratulations, Kimi. Welcome to Formula One. As well, Jack Doohan has officially signed with Alpine for the 2025 season as well. This is supposed to be or anticipated to be a two plus one contract as well. This is a pretty standard contract for Formula One drivers, especially if they're rookies. This gives everybody the opportunity to invest in each other, but not, you know, overly promise, because maybe somebody doesn't work out. Maybe it's just not the right fit, whatever the case may be. Anyways, Jack Doohan, 2025 seat for Alpine. Congratulations. And the second and last hot topic coming into the second half of the season. Yes, we are back. We are in the Netherlands. We're at the Zandvoort track this time. Both McLaren, Haas, and Williams are bringing massive updates to the race this weekend. McLaren bringing the most updates with only four, which doesn't seem a whole lot in the world of F1. But hey, you never know what that's going to bring. McLaren is bringing a very high force, brand new rear wing to the race. We will see if this is going to help them. Williams has got a few things tweaked on their car, more around the rear end of the car. And Haas is looking at more of the floor type upgrades. And Williams as well is also introducing a brand new floor to Zandvoort. The reason why these guys are bringing these upgrades now, it's kind of tradition that at least some teams bring in upgrades for the second half of the season, as well as this is a high downforce track, so they want to bring as much speed as they possibly can for the second half of the season. And this time, the hot topics, short and sweet. That is everything you need to know in the world of F1. Let's hop right into it. Qualifying, Zandvoort. Qualifying Q1 actually was the better of the 3 days prior. So now, obviously, you know, you've got the weekend warm-up. You've got full practice 1, 2, and 3. So full practice generally happens on the Friday morning / Thursday. And the weather this year in Zandvoort has been very, very on and off. They did have a couple of academy races as well. They had to postpone due to weather. The rain, the wind was massive, massive this season. It made the track a lot slipperier than intended. The weather forecast was it was supposed to be nice and dry. It did finally start to dry up near the beginning of Q1, which means everything they did learn in practice, essentially, was null and void. They had to run full wet tires. The spray was massive. They were slow, but they were very consistent. Nobody hit the wall in full practice. So let's get into Q1. Right off the bat, there was a massive name missing from Q1. That was Logan Sargeant. He did end up smashing the wall in full practice 3 about 2 hours before the first qualifying session. He didn't just kind of hit the wall. He's going around, I believe it was turn 3. He hit some grass, totally lost control, did a full 360 doing about 160 kilometers an hour, absolutely demolished the back end of the car. The car ended up being on fire. He did not qualify, or he didn't take part in qualifying at all. Period. End of sentence. Now, With this happen, I fully believe that not only does Logan Sargeant not have a seat next year, as we all know, Carlos Sainz is coming over to Williams, but I think this kind of put the nail on the coffin for the rest of his season. there is massive speculation and speculation from the team that's been, we'll call it three quarters confirmed, that Logan Sargeant will not make the end of this season in the Williams seat, that he will be replaced as early as the Italian Grand Prix, which is this coming up weekend. And it's about time. Why would you let Logan Sargeant, who's just costing you money, costing you points, embarrassing the team, and just trashing brand new parts on your car, to finish the rest of the season? It has not been a good rookie season for him. It hasn't been a good second season for him. Unfortunately, I mean, he is a bit of a waste of space at this point. At some point, you want to let the driver figure out where he's at, how the car feels, give him that confidence back. But also at the same time, it's banging your head against the wall, hoping for a different result. It's not happening with Logan Sargeant. I do hope he gets replaced just for the team aspect. They need some new blood. They've got a second driver that needs some experience. So why not get him in there now? They'll save him some money. They'll maybe even gain some points from Sargeant being out of the car. But massive crash in FP3. Does not make Q1 at all, costing Williams money, costing Williams time and effort, and just massive amounts of headaches. The weather absolutely cleared up for them in Q1. Sunshine, no wind, no rain. And it showed on the track. These guys, their pace was, fantastic. It was 0.8 of a second from 1st to 17th by the time Q1 was done. That's how close these guys were when the weather's right. Track is dry. Everyone's on point. No one's hitting the wall. No one's crashing. No one's causing red flags. These guys are still very, very close to each other. So bottom five out of Q1, we're going to go from 16th to 20th. Daniel Ricciardo in 16th. Esteban Ocon in 17th. Valtteri Bottas in 18th. Joe Guanyu in 19th. And obviously Logan Sargeant, because of the crash, in 20th. Rumor has it that Kik Sauber has signed Nico Hülkenberg. That's not rumors. They have signed him. And now the 90% their choice for their next driver. It sounds like they're going to sign Bottas again. Joe Guanyu will no longer be part of Kik Sauber for next year and going into Audi. I do think this is a proper idea. Valtteri Bottas has produced more, and I mean produced in the very biggest air quotations possible. Kik Sauber still has zero points. But when it comes to qualifying, when it comes to race day, when it comes to FP3, Valtteri Bottas is still the stronger driver in that team than Joe Guanyu. Now, it's not that Joe's been ridiculously horrible. He's had some bad luck. He hasn't had the right setup for his car 9 times out of 10. The first half of the season, not only for Joe, but for the entire team, has been a bit of a write-off. They need to forget about it. But I do anticipate hearing Bottas being signed for the 2025 season and beyond for Kik Sauber, at least until they turn into Audi. And then I think that he's going to be, I don't want to say officially done in Formula One, but he definitely won't be there anymore. Q2, more of the same thing. Again, we're doing 0.8 of a second, 0.08 of a second between 1st and 10th. Dry track still, no wind, no clouds, no nothing. Fantastic, fantastic racing. The only disappointing thing that I will say is that the top five, Norris, Russell, Piastri, and Verstappen, they've got about a 14 or 15 minute Q2. You want to warm up the tires, you want to get your time in, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. Out of that entire time, like I said, Norris, Russell, Piastri, and Verstappen, they all stayed in the garage until 3 minutes left in the qualifying session. Now, is there something wrong with the car? Are they saving tires? Are they saving performance parts, essentially? Are they saving the engine? All that kind of fun stuff. No one ever explained anything. I think it took away from Q2. It's smart on their aspect. They're saving the tires, saving the drivers, all that kind of jazz. It just makes it a little bit more of a, I don't want to say embarrassing for the other drivers, but it's like, hey, we're not thinking that it's going to be important enough. You guys are going to put up better time, so we're not going to go out until 3 minutes left. We're going to do one warm-up. We're going to do one qualifying lap, and then we're all just going to out-qualify you anyways. I find it a little bit disrespectful. Although the team, it's massive confidence in the drivers and in their cars, still not really the greatest to watch, because we want to see everybody qualifying. We want to see everybody out on the track at the same time. Bottom 10, let's talk about it from 11th to 15th. Some major names did not make it out of Q2. First of all, 11th, Carlos Sainz, out by 1/1000th of a second, getting out qualified. Lewis Hamilton in 12th, Yuki Tsunoda in 13th, Nico Hülkenberg in 14th, and Kevin Magnussen in 15th. 14th and 15th, the Haases, not a massive surprise. From about a quarter of the way through the season, they have definitely established themselves as at least a Q2, if not a Q3 team. So they're where they need to be. But when it comes to Seitz and Hamilton, they just could not put it together at all. Both of them really, really underperforming in what would have been a perfect qualifying day. But hey, that's racing. Sometimes you put it together and sometimes you don't. After the post-practice interviews, they weren't blaming the cars. They weren't blaming the teams. It was just one of those, it's racing. We had one of those weekends. We had one of those qualifyings. We're just going to have to find the pace and we're going to have to find what we absolutely need to do come race day. Hopping right into Q3, again, the same thing happening in Q3 as it does in Q2. Perez, Albon, and Fernando Alonso, they essentially waited till 5 minutes and 3 minutes respectively left in the qualifying session to actually go out and do some work. Verstappen waited, I think it was like 6.5 minutes to go out. Not really performing all that well for Max. He did go off the road, possibly a little bit of floor damage on 13. He is wringing the neck of that Red Bull, and he is seeming to absolutely struggle in qualifying against the McLarens. The McLarens with their upgrade package seems like it is absolutely a dime of a package. It's working in every aspect they could possibly imagine. They're getting the downforce. They're getting the speed. They're getting the consistency that they want, and it's giving their drivers the confidence that they need to perform at the highest level. So, Red Bull, you gotta pull it out. Perez, obviously top 10, still not really helping out Max when it comes to qualifying positions. He did qualify in the top 5, but he still needs to do a little bit better now to officially help the team. This will be the topic of the race story once we get to it. But Perez needs to be a little bit higher. Max is trying the best that he can, but top 10 out of the Q3, we're going to go from 10th to 1st, and then we'll talk about it after. 10th, Pierre Gasly. 9th, Lance Stroll. Alex Albon in 8th. Fernando Alonso in 7th. Leclerc in 6th. A little bit better, much better of a performance from Leclerc and the Ferrari. Perez in 5th. Russell 4th. Piastri 3rd. Verstappen 2nd. Norris 1st. These top 5 seem to be the going rate officially now when it comes to qualifying and the beginning of the start. McLaren is in such a position now that they're splitting the Red Bulls, if not totally separating them by at least a car or a team in a bit. They are just the team to be reckoned with. Russell, a much better performance than Hamilton. Again, he said he was struggling with the car a little bit on some of the turns. It wasn't windy, but it was like windy enough just to affect these cars. Now, that being said, you don't need a 15 to 20 mile an hour wind to affect these cars. They're so on the rails. They're so dialed in that even, 3 kph winds, 5 kph winds, it's going to start throwing off these cars, their aerodynamics. But Russell saying that he wasn't super unimpressed with the car, but he wasn't super happy either. Let's see what this transfers into. Alex Albon with the new upgrades to the Williams, really showing what this car is absolutely potential of. Top 10, fantastic performance, and not just making it into the top 10. He's 8th. He's getting better. He's challenging Fernando Alonso. He was right there with the Aston Martins, who bring an upgrade as well, just not as big enough upgrade. I think Williams is still going in the right direction, especially with Alex Albon. They're getting the car to where they need it to be. Maybe for the end of the season, we only have 10 races left. So maybe the end of 2024, but looking really, really good into 2025 is their official goal. They've said this year is not exactly a wash, but they're setting themselves up for a lot of success in the 2025 season. And this absolutely shows it. The upgrades are working. The drivers are feeling confident. And in this case, it shows that what they can do when they're loving the vehicle and they're loving the pace, they're going to get into the top 10 for qualifying. And it looks like it's going to start to transfer into actual race points. Now, with all that being said, it is time to get into race day. And this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the Dutch Grand Prix. We're talking about Zandvoort. 72 laps, distance 4.25 kilometers, 14 turns. Top speed, 334.8 kilometers an hour. Fastest lap, the three-time world champion, Max Verstappen, in 2021, posted a 108.8. Not even touched this weekend. But before we get into the race, some race day news. Lewis Hamilton given a 3-point place demotion for impeding in Q1. Apparently he impeded Checo Perez. He started 12th for Hamilton. Now he's down to 15th. All right. Here's what I got to say about this. It happened in Q1. It happened in the middle of Q1. Why the fuck did it take the Stewarts so long to give him that penalty? They had plenty of time to review it during Q1. And hey, end of Q1, guess what? You got a 3-place grid penalty because you impeded. Done. Less than 15 minutes. Look at the fucking tapes. You don't need to take almost 12 hours to look at a tape. You've got enough Stewarts. You know what you're looking for. Yeah, there's things that happen during qualifying. That's fine. If there's an issue, the teams let the Stewarts know. You can go back and review it. It should not take you that long to review a rule that is pretty goddamn clear. It is black and white. Did you impede the guy on a fast lap no matter where you are on the track? Yes, no. Look at the tape. Maybe 10 minutes. Make a decision. Post it. Not 12 hours later. All right? The Stewarts are getting lazy. I could fucking do this. All right? F1, if you're listening, anybody related in Formula One at all, I've watched this enough. I've looked at the rules. Put me in there as a Stewart. Put me in there as a reviewer. I will review. I will get it done in a timely manner where it's the right decision and it doesn't take 12 hours to come to that decision at all. Logan Sargeant is going to be starting 18th from his crash just because the last two guys, a little bit of a mechanical issue. Kevin Magnussen took a pit lane start because he's got some brand new power unit parts in his car. He now officially, for three of the parts that he took, is officially over his allocation for the season, hence the pit lane start. And because he broke Parc Fermé, that's why he'll be starting at the back of the grid. And they're like, okay, Kelsey, that makes it 19th. So who's the other guy? Alex Albon got disqualified from qualifying, and Logan Sargeant would have been as well if he actually would have made qualifying. For the simple reason, and again, a perfect example of a black and white rule set by the FIA and F1, they did a measurement of the Williams car, and it was determined that the floor of the Williams car, especially Alex's car, was too wide. Now, the reason why that Williams didn't fix this beforehand is they have their own sensors, per every team does, to make sure their car fits in the regulations. Their laser sensor said that their car was wide enough. It was within the rules. It wasn't over. It wasn't under. FIA comes in. Their laser also did the same reading. It was determined by the FIA and F1 laser measurement that their car was too wide. And we're not talking like a half a foot. We're not talking, you know, 5 or 6 inches. We're talking like a half an inch. So nothing too crazy. So Alex was disqualified from qualifying, period. So he will start in 19th. Now, that being said, he does have the availability. The cars will, the team will modify the cars. They'll bring the floor in and they'll be just fine. So now let's get into the race. Turn one. This is the shortest distance from the starting grid to the first turn. Normally in Zandvoort, when it comes to the wind, when it comes to the, like how the track is, it sometimes has a tendency to get really, really, really messy. In this case, fantastic start from Max. Lando looked like he forgot he was in first because Max moved and then Lando moved. Max blows by everybody, regains the lead, first corner. Everybody else, though, super, super, super smooth. Piastri back in Q3 also lost a couple of spots because it was just a really, really bad start from both McLarens. They looked at the car after the race. It wasn't a mechanical issue. It was strictly driver reaction time. They were in F1 timing, way, way, way behind the timing of everybody else, but they were still able to keep up, and they only lost like one spot each, which is not, you know, a super bad start, but still not really, really great for them. In the meantime, first five laps, Lewis Hamilton kind of, you could tell he was a little pissed that he got the impeding infraction and the penalty. He's making his way up the track. Very smooth racing. Very, very, very consistent. A little bit on the determined side from Lewis Hamilton. It's 10 races left in the 2024 season. It is officially the farewell tour for Hamilton in Mercedes. He wants to make the best effort. He wants to make the best choices that he possibly can for the team. He also wants to set a good example for all the young fans and for George Russell, who's only ever signed for one team, that this is how you leave gracefully. You try your best, you keep your confidence up, and you just do what you can. Now, everybody knows that Lewis Hamilton hasn't always had the best outlook at the team and the car in the past, but you can always turn over a new leaf in the second half of the season, especially when you want to set a really good example like him. So a fairly uneventful drama wise when it comes to the Zandvoort race. A ton of passing, especially in the midsection of the grid. So we're talking, we'll call it 11 through 16, a ton of passing, a little bit of passing from 10 up, nothing too, you know, too furious. Everyone kind of settled into the right position. Lap 18, Max leads for 18 laps. Okay. Now all of a sudden from lap, we'll call it 15 to 17, it seems like Lando's found that next level. It looks like the car is really finding its own. The upgrades are really starting to kick in. They're finding their groove. By lap 18, Lando Norris passes Max. And it wasn't a super defended pass. It wasn't like Max going into the corners and throwing elbows out. It was on a straightaway. Lando does have DRS. Normally when it comes to the RB20, and the McLaren car, they're pretty even on the straight stretch, even when McLaren does have downforce when it's got DRS. I don't know what had happened from that point on, but Lando passed Max like Max would pass anybody else last season on the track. Just blew right by him. Max realizing this, absolutely no defense whatsoever against Lando. He knew there wasn't any point. Lando passes him, and from there on out, it just got better for McLaren and very, very, very questionable for Max and Red Bull from there on out. Max complaining he's got no grips. He's getting passed very easily, which means there's not enough downforce on the car. So all the upgrades that Red Bull has brought, and they still have at least one more upgrade package to bring, what the direction that Red Bull is going right now is what Aston Martin did and what Ferrari did last season and the season before. They finished the season, obviously, with a brand, like a rocket ship, the best car you've ever seen in Formula One for 3 years. Now, the upgrades they've added are not helping them whatsoever. They're upgrading themselves out of the race. Now, is this because Adrian Newey is no longer helping them with the upgrade to the car? Or is it just that the ideas aren't working anymore? Has the rest of the grid caught up to Red Bull? Not the entire grid, but McLaren not only has caught up to Red Bull, they are now absolutely surpassing Red Bull at this point. No downforce equals no speed. So now we're going to fast forward to lap 21. So Max gets past lap 18. By lap 21, he's 1.8 seconds behind Lando, which is not bad. You've got a ton of time to catch up. Remember, it's 72 laps. You still have to pit and then keep going, warm up your tires. Well, by 3 more laps, the gap has jumped to 3.7 seconds. By lap 25, it's 4.7. By lap 36, it is 7.8 seconds. And by lap 40, he's 10 seconds behind Lando. He's still keeping second place, okay? He's still fending off Piastri. He's fending off Leclerc and Sainz and all them. But it's not as dominant as you think. So what's gone right? What's gone wrong? Max, I mean, he pits in lap 28, Lando pits lap 29, and I've still, like I said, lap 36, even with brand new tires, hard tires, really responsive, really good at Zandvoort, he's 10 seconds behind by lap 40. Less than 11 laps later, he is 10 seconds behind Lando. All of the credit I'm going to give to Lando and to the upgraded car for McLaren, especially for this race. And I'm especially going to give credit to the new high force rear wing they put on the car. It is next level efficient. It is next level effective, as we've seen. And at this point in the race, Max has absolutely no answer to this whatsoever. At this point, it's maintaining second and keeping the tires for the entire rest of the race. Because this race, this circuit does have a tendency to be a little harder on tires than most. It's just the way the track is made, really smooth, but still kind of abrasive on the tires. Max is just maintaining. Meanwhile, Lance Stroll, 5-second penalty for speeding in the pit lane. It's just, Aston Martin started in the top 10. Halfway through the race, they dropped 3 to 4 spots. I don't know what Aston Martin has officially done. It's like, again, they've out-upgraded themselves from being a contender to mid-grid at best. Kind of like what Red Bull's starting to do. They're still up front, but just barely. They're starting to fall backwards. They're following the way Aston Martin has done for essentially the second half of the season. Well, the end of the first half, beginning of the second half, it's not looking really, really good. Ferrari, huge weekend comeback. They were definitely not doing well in full practice or qualifying. They've really stepped up their game when it comes to race time. The longer the distance, the car got its proper groove. They were able to find the pace that they needed to, find the grip, find the confidence. They didn't blow anybody away, but they made themselves known in the top 10, in the top 5. They made their way up. They're pulling some major points for the team that they still need. They're still in the hunt for second place in the constructors. They can do this by the end of the season. They just need more consistent finishes like they have now, maybe a little bit higher, but Ferrari was definitely on the uptick for this race this weekend. Besides the solid driving and, again, a ton of passing in the mid-teams, mid part of the way through the race, from 11th to 16th, nothing super, super, I don't want to say interesting, but it was very consistent. A lot of passing, really interesting to watch, but to report on, it was a very kind of uneventful race, especially the top three. By the time everything was all said and done, Lando Norris, 22.8 second victory over Max Verstappen. Now, everyone's saying this is a massive, massive statement by McLaren, a massive statement by Norris. I'm going to give it a 50-50 yes. Huge statement that McLaren is here. They also have one more major upgrade package. Now, this is going to move more towards 2025 opposed to the rest of 2024, but they've officially made the statement that they will be the challenger for at least the Constructors Series, if not the Drivers' Championship as well. I believe this to be totally true. The developmental package that they've gotten from McLaren is second to none. I would even put this developmental package, at least at the end of this season and going into 2025, better than the developmental route of the RB20, at least for the first season. If they continue to be better 24 or 25 and 26 to get that 3-year championship, then I will definitely change my opinion that the, not just not the strategy, but the developmental team at McLaren has surpassed and has eclipsed Adrian Newey, the one-man wrecking team that he is when it comes to development. But McLaren is definitely, definitely on the right track to be a multi-time world constructor champion. Let's get into the top 10. We're going to go from 10th to 1st because, hey, why not? 10th, Fernando Alonso, Pierre Gasly in 9th, Lewis Hamilton, huge, huge comeback, ends up getting 8th, George Russell again, 7th, really good team effort. They're getting some consistent points. They still need them in the champion or in the Constructors' Championship. They need to keep as many points as they possibly can. They still have the availability. Actually, they have passed Ferrari as well, which is fantastic for them. Checo Perez in 6th dropped the spot. Again, I come back to this. Red Bull needs Perez to do a lot more. He started 5th, ended 6th. It was a solid race, but they just need that little bit extra from him. 5th was Carlos Sainz, 4th was Oscar Piastri, Leclerc was 3rd, Max Verstappen was 2nd, and Lando Norris, like I said, 22 seconds ahead in the victory. Congratulations to Lando. This was his race to lose. It was his race to fuck up, and he absolutely did not. He did what he needed to do. Now, with I said, the 22 second, oh my God, he put a statement in. Yes, he did, but at the same time, Max is also smart enough to know, and their strategy team is smart enough to know there's no point digging into that lead. You've got second. Save the tire. Save the engine. More importantly, save the parts of the car for the rest of the season. So, yes, 50-50. Lando made his statement, but Red Bull is also smart enough to be like, hey, don't fuck up the car if you absolutely don't need to. You're not going to win this. Maintain second. Finish in the points. McLaren also got, Lando Norris also got fastest lap as well, and driver of the day. So he really was racking in the points and the accolades this weekend. Drivers championships. Let's get right into that. Max Verstappen is still first with 295 points. Lando Norris is starting to creep up, 225. Then Leclerc in third with 192. Piastri in fourth with 179. Carlos Sainz in fifth with 172. Hamilton in sixth with 154. Checo Perez in seventh with 139. George Russell is in eighth with 222 points. Fernando Alonso is in 9th with 50, and Lance Stroll is in 10th with 24. Now, the constructors, this is where it's really getting interesting. This is where the most challenge from McLaren is coming opposed to the Drivers' Championship. We're going to go from 10th, then we're going to go to 1st, and we're going to talk about this. Kick Sauber, 10th, 0 points. Congratulations. You guys are pretty much a waste of space on the grid. Williams is in 9th with 4 points. Alpine's in 8th with 13. Haas is in seventh with 27 points. The V car is in sixth with 34 points. Aston Martin's in fifth with 74 points. Massive, massive jump now. Mercedes is in fourth with 276 points. Ferrari's in third with 370 points. I do say Mercedes can still catch Ferrari. I mean, I say that tongue in cheek. They'll catch up to them. They will not pass them by the end of the season. There's just not enough time. Here's where it really gets really, really, really gets interesting. McLaren is in second with 404 points. Red Bull is still in first with only 434 points. That is one good weekend. That could be next weekend. Lando wins, Piastri second, and they get the fastest lap. We see a change in championship points. It's 25 points to win, 18 for second. So McLaren 1-2 with the fastest lap, and then you need Max fifth or lower. Now, that last part, Max is not going to lie down for this. Max will still do what Max does. He will challenge. He will be in the top three. What comes down to how this is going to change is where Checo is. And that leads me right into the story of the race. It's going to be a battle to the end for the championship for the Constructors Series. This, in my opinion, is going to 100% rely on the quote-unquote six Checo-inspired races that they have left this season. Now there's officially nine races left in the season, in the 2024 season, six of which are supposed to favor Checo Perez and his driving abilities. He better, and I mean he better fucking perform at those six races, or he himself will be the reason why Red Bull is not a four-time Constructors Championship team. He is the linchpin. And in my opinion, the way he's been driving last season and this season, Checo Perez is by far the worst linchpin that you can possibly rely on this season. He's inconsistent. Well, he's consistently sucking. He's inconsistent with his qualifying. He can't seem to finish in the top five more than one race in a row, where they need him top three, essentially, for the rest of the season. He needs to pick it up. He needs to pull the fastest lap point. Even one point here, one point there extra will make the difference. And right now, he couldn't perform. He couldn't drive himself out of a paper bag to help Max, realistically. Now, he is getting points for the team. He is contributing, obviously, top 10 points, which is great. From here on out, he needs top four, top 3 points, no matter what. Just to make sure that the team, not Max, that the team keeps their championship hopes alive, because the way McLaren is driving right now, they're fucking demolishing everybody, including Red Bull. A little bit of a hiccup for Piastri. He was just a little late trying to catch up to Leclerc to get onto the podium, but he is learning at an exponential rate. Lando is at the peak in a car that right now is absolutely unstoppable. It's better than the RB20. And again, this is coming from a Red Bull fan. McLaren is outperforming Red Bull right now, hands down, no doubt about it. So like I come back to my main point, the way that Red Bull is going to keep their championship for four consecutive seasons, and I think this is going to be the, if they hold on to it, this will be the last season that they win consecutively, because the way McLaren is going, unless Red Bull pulls something massive out of their ass for the second half of this season and for next season, McLaren will win their first championship in a very long time in 2025. So, Checo, if you're listening, anybody who knows Checo, anybody in Formula One, Red Bull team, whatever, tell him he needs, I mean, I'm sure he knows, but the fans know, F1 fans have realized he needs to do better as of right now. Because not only will this determine the Red Bull trajectory, I think this will also determine his trajectory for next season. If you can't deliver when you need us or we need you to, there's no point in you being here. And hey, that's the F101 story of the race. Speaking of races, when is the next race? Well, Zandvoort's done and dusted. Our next race is the Italian Grand Prix, August 30th to September 1st. It is another pure race weekend. We do not have a sprint for at least two more races. Thank God. That's a lot to keep track of. So let's go through the weekend. Thursday weekend warm-up, 8:30 local time for us. Friday, FP1, FP2, respectively, 5:30 a.m. and 9 a.m. Saturday, if you're watching full practice three, that is a 4:30. Pre-qualifying is 7:30. Qualifying is 8 a.m. Sunday, pre-race show 6 a.m. The race itself is 7 a.m. And then the post-race is 9 a.m. The Italian Grand Prix is always a fantastic. It is the Scuderia's hometown. It is Ferrari's home race. I'm really hoping that they are able to perform this weekend. Not like they didn't perform this weekend, but I want to see a really good outing from both Ferrari cars. You always want to see teams succeed at home. It's just one of those things where you're just like, you know what? You guys did amazingly. You guys did, you know, not what you were supposed to, but hey, this is your hometown. This is, you know, this is the best that you need to do. This is what you need to do. Here's how you do it. Make the fans happy. So that is it, folks. That is the Zandvoort Dutch Grand Prix roundup. And as always, everybody from here, from F101, I want to thank everybody for listening in. Without the fans, without you guys out there, I would not be able to do this. So a massive, massive thank you, and keep those tires spinning, and I will see you on the track.